Hey, everybody. Before we get into the show, we have a major, earth-shattering, massive announcement. Nikki?
Yes, it is that time again, Pete Wright. Our monthly planning membership is open for enrollment. GPS stands for Guided Planning Sessions, if you don't know already. We've worked really hard here at Take Control ADHD to provide you with a service that not only gives you ideas and strategies on how to plan your day and your week, but it also provides time and space for you to do the work and not just by yourself, but with others who understand and support you. We meet every Monday and Thursday, and there are three different sessions for each day that you're invited to attend. We are dedicated to making this membership to be one that is transformative in the way you think about planning and taking control of your time and schedule. There are so many benefits to the GPS membership, so please be sure to visit our website at takecontroladhd.com/GPS. Enrollment is open now through May 8th. Thank you for your time and attention, and I hope to see you soon.
On with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Taking Control, the ADHD podcast on True Story FM. I'm Pete Wright, and I'm here with Nikki Kinzer.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Pete Wright.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
I had no idea that the planets and numbers would align quite so well as to give us our blessed episode 600, nay, one day from our 14th anniversary of doing this show.
Who knew? We couldn't have planned it better.
Nobody knew. Astrologers, scientists, nobody could have planned this except for maybe one day better. We could have possibly planned it one day better. But still,
darn
600
good.
Episodes of this crazy show and 14 years. That feels pretty big.
It is. It does feel really big.
Pretty big. So we're doing something different. Maybe not that different. We've done kind of a retrospective show before, but it's been a long time and we have a bunch of new listeners. And so we're going to talk a little bit about our history today, and we're going to talk about kind of our favorite milestones through the years of doing the show. And so we beg you to forgive us our navel gazing today. We shall be introspective about the show. And for those who aren't interested in us talking about ourselves, hell, I'm not very interested normally in us talking about ourselves, but this is the day we're going to do it. So please, if you're not interested in that, go ahead and skip the episode, because this is all it's going to be. This is just it. And the next episode is going to be awesome with an awesome return guest, and we're very, very excited about it. So that's it. Is that enough preamble?
Sounds good.
Okay, so head over to takecontroladhd.com to get to know us a little bit better. Listen to the show on the website, mailing list, Pinterest, and Facebook and Instagram. They're all Take Control ADHD. You should do those things. And Discord, takecontroladhd.com/Discord. Jump into the community channel if you want to chat along in the public channels over there. And Discord, that's where the live stream is chatting right along with us as we record this very thing. You guys are very funny and kind, posting gifts and nice notes of happy birthday. We love having this chat room, and you could be a part of the chat room too by becoming a deluxe member of our Patreon, patreon.com/theADHD podcast. This show exists, the live stream exists, the Discord exists, all because of people who directly support the show by way of Patreon. So please, if you are getting to know yourself with your ADHD and this show has helped you along the way, consider supporting the vast catalog of, yes, 600 episodes, that you can have access to as a member if you jump in to the Patreon. Patreon.com/theADHD podcast to learn more. Okay, Nikki, it's time.
It's time.
Okay, 600 episodes, 14 years. Did you ever think that we were going to hit a milestone like this? I mean, what's next? 1,000? What lunatic would podcast that long?
I don't know. Us? I don't know. No, 600 episodes. That's a lot of talking. Just of stuff. You and it's I just talking.
So much talking. Melissa, Melissa, bless her in her brain, I have just canonized her. She's the official historian. She's a saint now. She's the ADHD Saint Melissa. This Discord bomb thing, we're done with that. Now it's Saint Melissa because she has an encyclopedic memory for this show. I don't know how she does it. We did the show and we don't know the show as well as Melissa does.
No.
And one of the things that I think Melissa should do to level up is to be able to start giving us a total word count of every episode across the show. That would be an interesting metric. You disagree.
I don't know. Word counts are not always my friends.
Oh, right. I already forgot. So this, as we do this show, yes, this is one day off of our 14th birthday as this show airs, 3/22/24.
Which is interesting because that's my mother's birthday.
So many birthdays.
And I don't remember that our first episode was on my mom's birthday, but it was also 14 years ago. So course I would not 14 remember 14
years that. Ago. We've done a lot. And so we were going to walk through a little bit of, you know, what's been happening the last decade and a half. For those who don't know, who come into the show, you know, fairly recently in our 600 episodes, the show didn't start out as an ADHD podcast.
No, it did not. It started out as an organizing podcast.
Yeah, because you were a professional organizer at that point for people. Yeah.
Yes. And, I'll make this story short because I know a lot of people know about it, but maybe not everyone. So it's interesting. But yeah, I started out as a professional organizer and I had an opportunity to do a weekly radio hosting kind of like Q&A thing with another organizer in town. And it was a local radio show. And I talked to Pete about every business decision that I do. And I tell Pete about this radio show and he's like, oh, don't do that. You need to do your own podcast, be your own show. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. What is a podcast? And so you hooked us up on getting this thing going. And I thought it was just going to be on my website. I had no idea that it was going to be available for anyone who wanted to hear it in the world. And there we started.
It all started with a journey through the office closet.
Yes. Yours. Your office closet.
Was it mine? Really?
Yeah.
I haven't even gone back to listen to this yet.
It was your office.
It's bad news.
Oh, you didn't keep it up.
No, okay. So my office closet. No. We actually did a heck of a job because the structure that I created hasn't changed since then, and it is very resilient. It's super resilient, and I can stack stuff, put things away, shelve them as necessary. But day to day, I don't pay a lot of attention to it, and I have this one shelf right next to me that I can just put stuff when I need it out of sight and close the door. And so it kind of, that's the part that grows, but that's the only part I have access to. So everything else I can't reach. So what I've noticed, y'all, is if you can't touch a thing, you can't disorganize a thing.
That's true.
What do we think about
that? That's a tip. That's
very
an organizing
important
tip today.
Don't touch anything in your house after you get it organized. You'll be fine.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. We're the biggest danger to our own organization systems. And so we thought we would play just a little bit for those who haven't heard it, just a little bit of The Office Closet. Here it is.
Welcome to Taking Control, everybody, the inaugural episode of the Take Control Organizing Home Organizing Podcast. My name is Pete Wright, and I'm here with TCO proprietor Nikki Kinzer. Hello, Nikki.
Hi, Pete. Welcome everyone to the show.
This is so cool, right? You're internet famous already, I'm sure.
I know. High-tech technology that I can do this from my home office.
I know. It's wonderful. And I can say things like, I'm sitting here with Nikki and you know, it's like a complete fraud. I'm not saying that. I probably shouldn't have said that. I'm pulling back the curtain a little too much. Well, here's the first one. So this is my big challenge. It's always behind me. You know, most of the work I do is on video conference and through Skype. And
yes, and I've seen it. I've seen it behind
you. It's awful. It's terrible. It's this awful sliding doors behind me. It's this terrible closet. It's too shallow and yet too deep. The doors, it's always so packed with stuff that literally the doors will not stay on the sliders. It's a chronic, awful organizing challenge. Mostly I'm so embarrassed when the camera goes on and my clients look behind me over my shoulder and see the doors popping off the hinges. I know I'm not alone in this, yeah, with this kind of a problem. Closets, I think, are prone to hiding things in, but as such, it's just not used space. How do I start to get my head around my closet?
Well, you know, have you organized it before in the past?
Yes. Oh, yes. No, because okay. I feel like I'm constantly, I have it on my to-do list. I have a to-do list. That's a good start, right? And I go in every 6 months, a little alarm says, tackle the closet. And you know, it started, I would actually make some headway. You know, I'd organize things and stack things and they'd look very clean. And, you know, it takes a week and suddenly stuff is just pouring out of it again.
Because you're shoving things back into it,
right,
without probably really thinking too much about where the items are going,
right,
is my guess.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
The thing about that episode and the thing about our first many episodes is that they are locked from the public. Right. So if you're not a patron, if you are not a Patreon member, you can't hear those episodes. And even for our patrons, it's kind of by request. I can give you access to those episodes, but they're hard to find, mm-hmm, because they're not what we do anymore. Right. We started incorporating ADHD centric episodes into the organizing podcast back in 2012. Right. And so season 4, episode 19 is ADHD an excuse or an explanation? Right. So that was the first time we started talking about ADHD. But I think what's interesting about that was when we started insinuating that the show was changing. Do you remember when you decided, like the moment you decided, hey, I think this is going to be ADHD, or was it more of a slow roll?
Oh, no, I knew, because at that time I was in my coaching training. So I was trying to get, I was getting my certification and going through all of the programs and everything. So I knew in 2011 that I was going to be switching gears. We didn't know exactly how that was going to pan out, because for a while I was a professional organizer specializing in ADHD. And then I flipped it and said, nope, I just want to be an ADHD coach. And not necessarily specialize in organizing, just I want to do all ADHD coaching.
Why?
Because I had a couple of clients who had ADHD. I had more than just a couple, but there were two particular clients that I worked with that were in businesses, and they hired me to start working with them to organize their spaces. And both of them were owners of their business, like entrepreneurs. And I loved the work of not necessarily organizing physical space, but I loved organizing and helping them figure out like their workflow and getting caught up because they were very behind on things, and helping them like build new systems and how they were doing their work. I really enjoyed it. And I thought, you know, I think I would be a better fit if I could work with more ADHD people in all different aspects of ADHD. I think I would just enjoy it. And I think it would be a longer lasting career for me. Mm-hmm. I was right. I mean, I'm really glad that I made that jump.
Yeah, I think so too. And what you didn't know when we started doing this was that I hadn't just gotten my diagnosis. I think I was diagnosed in, what would it have been? 2001, 2002, mm-hmm, somewhere in there. I'd been married for just a couple of years, probably under 2 years. And so, you know, I had my diagnosis and I was fascinated by ADHD because I realized that was my brain and I was kind of coming to terms with that. But you didn't know that when you said ADHD. That was a surprise to both of us.
Right. Yeah.
Which was really fun.
And you kind of pushed back a little bit too. I don't know if you remember, but you pushed back a little bit because at that time there weren't as many podcasts in the world as there are right now. And so we were very popular as an organizing podcast. I mean, we were always in the little top 10, and you know, you could see us when people are looking for podcasts and you're like, are you sure? Because we're going to lose listeners. I mean, this is going to like, you know, make an effect on our show. And I remember sitting and just thinking about it. And I'm, it's okay, because I want to get different listeners. I want different people. And was really happy to do that.
And that played out pretty much exactly as we kind of set ourselves up to expect. Yeah,
absolutely. There were some people who are like, well, I don't have ADHD. I'm not going to follow you anymore. Yeah. Okay, that's great. You know, but then we, you know, with one person lost, we were gaining five people that did have ADHD and found a lot of value in the podcast. Right. And that was important.
I will say, Melissa corrected me. Technically, where those first episodes exist is still on takecontroladhd.com. And you can visit those episodes by just typing takecontroladhd.com/podcast/the episode number you're looking for. So you want to hear episode 10, just podcast/10, and you should jump right to it. But those are not in the podcast feed anymore. Right. Because that's not what we do. So we made the official switch on June 2nd, 2014. Just about 10 years ago, that was season 9, episode 1. We're going through some changes. That shows up as technically episode 1 in the podcast now. And that was when we outed ourselves as an ADHD podcast officially.
That's right.
And decided we're not ever going to do any other kinds of things. And if they don't relate to ADHD, super good choice for both of us, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Absolutely.
We've got questions coming in the live chat, and what we normally do is save these for later.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to take them as they come because they're interesting and I think they fit the conversation. So Laura asks, my question is, how did you both decide to come up with this format? I've been fascinated by the peek behind the camera as you were creating your podcast. What's your memory of that?
Of the format of doing a podcast?
Yeah, maybe Laura, if you want to jump in and explain further, not just of doing the podcast, but of the format of the show that it is right now.
Oh, well, it's changed, hasn't it? Over time, I think it's changed, because when we first started, it was around organizing. I really wish I would have looked at some of those titles, because I don't remember everything that we talked about with organizing. I'm assuming we had to have just like picked like different strategies and how to. Yep. So I definitely think it was a how to organize with your comments, you know? So like I would have this like outline of things I wanted to say, and then you would chime in and talk about it. But you never talked about ADHD, and I didn't talk about ADHD.
No, I was in the organizing days, I was just a nerd for organizing, and I was okay playing the rube to your expert, right? That was the whole idea, was I was just going to help sort of grease the skids for you to talk about organizing and helping people figure out their organizing system and organize their spaces.
Also weren't weekly either.
No, we've been all over the place on that front. Like we've been biweekly, we took breaks. Like I remember one point having to talk to you and say, hey, we got to do this again. Like I know we've kind of run out of steam on such and so, but that also led us to starting to invite our first guests on the show, because I think guests, that was a big shift, was opening ourselves up to saying, okay, we need to invite experts on the show. I think they'll contribute a lot.
Well, and that definitely wasn't until after it became an ADHD podcast, because we didn't have any guests when it was organizing. It was just me talking and you commenting. And they weren't long episodes. They were very short and pretty easy to listen to, because they were just short. And they were more how-tos. It was almost to me doing a blog post, but talking about the blog post.
Yeah.
That is sort of how I looked at it. And then when we switched to ADHD, I think one of the biggest benefits for me doing this show and being an ADHD coach is that when you have to create an outline and you have to think about who you want on as a guest, it forces you, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, but it forces you to stay educated and to learn and keep learning about ADHD. So I don't think I would have the knowledge and really just the knowledge of ADHD that I have now without doing the show, because you just, yeah, you're always in it and you're always talking to people that are in it and you're learning so much every single time we have a guest, every single time we have a conversation, I learn from you. And so for me as for my career, it's like, it's just been this huge educational platform that I think makes me, you know, a good coach, that makes me a better coach.
You should be getting CEUs for this.
Yeah, totally. So that has just been such such an honor to be able to be in your business like that and just keep learning it, yeah, in a fun way where, right, I don't have to go to a conference and, you know, watch ADHD sessions hour by hour by hour for, you know, 12 hours a day. That's a lot. But yeah, this we don't have to do. But going back to the format, I do remember when we were every other week. I also remember when we tried to batch our episodes where we would record, yeah, like four in a day. That
we would
was
do four
hard.
Episodes on a Monday and take care of a whole month.
Yeah, we didn't. That didn't last very long because neither one of us really liked that. That fourth episode was always tough to get through.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But
Lori DePauw was our first guest.
Yeah, Lori was our first guest talking about medication. And I remember I remember how exuberant I think you felt after that conversation, sort of ripping the Band-Aid off and just doing it for the first time was illuminating. And
yeah, because
just
you
made
have
it a lot more fun.
That imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Right? Like, who is going to want to talk to us? And medication has never been anything that I've been comfortable to talk about because it's not my expertise. I'm not a doctor. I don't want to talk about it because, mm-hmm, I'm not the right person to talk about it. But Lori DePauw at the time, and probably still today, you know, she came from a medical field background and she knew a lot about these medications. And we thought, you know, yeah, let's pull that Band-Aid and see if she would be interested. And she sure was.
One of the things that I do is I do a class. It's like a 5-week class, actually, that really makes it make sense, still professional, but not in this crazy brain, you know, lot brain words. It's their words, mm-hmm, that make sense so that you know, oh, this is what's happening in my brain. This is how the medications work. This is why that one does that. This is what's happening when the medication is wearing off in my system. All of those things I help people understand so they can make a educated choice what's right for them or right for a loved one.
Well, I think you're fitting in, or you're filling a need there, definitely, because the information is not out there, and that's fantastic.
This is wonderful information, Lori. Thank you so much for taking the time. And you know, we said this was going to be a legendary episode. I think it certainly is legendary in length for us. This was just a nonstop, awesome kind of roller coaster. I hope people get a lot out of it. But you're also our very first guest.
Oh, yay!
Which is awesome. Yay.
I'm so
we
excited.
We need a plaque.
Yeah, I want a plaque. I want a little plaque.
You should have a plaque.
Yes.
This has been just terrific. So thank you so much for taking your time and joining us.
My pleasure. What a lot of fun for me, Pete. Nikki, thank you so much.
Fantastic.
It was great. And then, yeah, after that, it was like, hey, I wonder if we can get some of these bigger names. And boy, were we like surprised.
Why did they say yes? My God.
The one that...
They're so, like, we totally snookered them.
Yeah, I know. The one that I was, like, the biggest, like, was Neda Hallowell.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, he is ADHD.
Yeah.
Like, he is the expert. And so were the other ones, too. But he was the big name. And I remember being really nervous. And he was so nice. And he almost made us feel like, well, why wouldn't I do it?
Yeah, right.
Like, you know?
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
Russ Barkley, another one.
Yes.
Bill Dodson. Bill Dodson is, you know, he introduced RSD,
mm-hmm,
to us and our audience. And it is still, I mean, from season 19, episode 11, thank you, Melissa, Unreal, introduced us to RSD and it was one of those just mind blowing experiences.
Yes. One of the most popular and most listened episodes. And he's amazing. Wow.
It's tremendously disruptive. Now, nobody, whether they have ADHD or not, likes being rejected or criticized. We're talking about something that's in a whole different league. Now, this goes beyond not liking it to it being catastrophic. The person can't continue to function. It takes over their lives for hours to days. And it's an overwhelming emotional experience that people can't describe. Another aspect of it is that, in fact, that's where the word dysphoria originally came from, is that it's literally Greek for unbearable. The people who did the original work wanted to get how severe this emotional reaction was right up there in the neck. Of course, it was hard and they put it in Greek, so it was pretty much lost on everything. But that's what happened over and over again. The researchers were pestering the research subjects. What does it feel like? What does it feel like? And finally, over and over again, people would say, look, man, back off. I can't find the words to tell you what this feels like, but I want you to know I can hardly stand it. Hmm. And it was this unbearable nature that got really the name. Mm-hmm. Rejection-sensitive, dysphoric, difficult to bear.
We also have a number of, we have a couple now of Hall of Famers and a couple who are creeping up to it, but our two, I just sort of started saying that Hall of Fame was, I think it was five. Like if you're, once you're on the show five times, you're Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we're going to do for James Ochoa, who is creeping up on 10. He's been on the show nine times. And the thing I love so much about James is, you know, dealing with the emotional storms, just how vulnerable he is every time he's on the show, mm-hmm. talking about his own experiences and him sharing, shaking at his kitchen counter, discovering that he had done his audiobook by reading all the punctuation was earth-shattering for me.
Yeah, so it's interesting because it was a post-traumatic stress event, meaning that I remember the time and the day that on August 30th at 10:04 p.m., as I stood in my beautiful kitchen leaning against my wonderful granite countertop bar, as I was checking the royalties on my book for the month, which is always a fun thing to do, and I happened to see the little Audible link on my audiobook, and I thought to myself, oh, I think I'll go to the Audible link and look at my book on Audible. And, you know, my book's been out over 3.5 years. It's been a wonderful success. And as I clicked the link, it was very clear to me. It was like, wait a minute, I'm not sure I've ever been here before. and that thought started the tumble, that it was like, wait a minute. And as it came up, I'm like, oh, I know I haven't been here before. And so the world really did. I mean, your chest caving in, my head started to swirl, which is my reaction. Yeah. You know, and then I see 164 or 5 comments, which is more comments than I've had anywhere on any social media platform, openly in the public, that I hadn't seen in 3.5 years. And I'm still stunned. I don't think I'll ever be not stunned by the chasm of that space. And, you know, all the comments were great. We had, 4.3, I think it was, out of 5 stars. That's wonderful. People think it's great. And then the narration I get to is 2 out of 5. And I'm like, I did the narration. So I'm like, wait a minute, that's a 2 out of 5 for me personally. And that's when I think I had to hold on to my granite countertop bar so I didn't fall over, because I'm like, oh my gosh, what have I done here? God. And in looking at it, the narration, I had chosen to read some parentheses and bullet points, which you never read punctuation in audiobooks. I know that now. And people were really annoyed by that. So here, Pete, I had people with ADHD who had comments that were valid, that I couldn't listen to the book. You know, sure, there were many who didn't even notice it, or maybe in their own ADD, they didn't even hear it, right? It wasn't a big deal. But that set off a storm of obviously monumental proportions for me.
There are so many layers to this, right? Sharon Saleen is another one who's been on 5 times now, also a Hall of Famer. I feel like we need to start making trophies.
I know. Yeah. Wonderful. presenters.
I also had a bucket list. I have a bucket list of my favorite guests.
Well, yeah, because you fanboyed a little bit, especially the third one down.
Okay. Kurosh Dini, I have been listening to, thinking about, reading his books for years. He's the he creates flow with OmniFocus. He's all about flow state productivity, and I found him when I was still using OmniFocus, and it was just a illuminating way to think about that app. And he also plays the piano, and he at concert level, he's really extraordinary. And so I've just always been a fan, and having him on the show and be such a gracious guest was mm-hmm. amazing. The same thing goes for Brett Terpstra. I've been mm-hmm. following Brett's nerdery for years. Brett has a lot of stuff going on that he is just unafraid to talk about, from overcoming significant drug and alcohol addiction to ADHD, OCD, depression. Like, he's got the whole cornucopia, and I see him as such a wonderfully brave public individual. It was great to have him on the show. Jesse Meacham from YNAB.
Wow.
Founder of YNAB was just so great, because YNAB has just turned around my life and my relationship with money. And it's just nice to be able to honor those.
He was great.
And Colleen Macklin, who, I think just so highly of as a designer, game developer. And the fact that Colleen, told us that she already listened to the show when we invited her to join was a huge win for us. Yes. I think that was beautiful. So that list just keeps growing for me of people who are my very favorites that have, for some reason or another, said yes.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, we had two shows that were hosted alone.
Yes.
All the other shows. So all 598 shows are co-hosted by you and I,
right,
except for two.
Right.
And the first one was with Ari Tuchman and Lying, and you hosted it because I woke up that morning violently ill.
Yes. And that was an early morning show, and it was kind of a last minute thing. And we just decided to roll with it.
Yes. And you guys did it.
We did.
Yeah.
And then the next
one was just a more recent one from 2023. Mm-hmm. And that was with Dr. Oliverdia and my daughter, Paige Kinzer, where we talked about eating disorders and ADHD. That, of course, is a podcast that's very dear to me. And I could not have picked a better guest to be on that show with us. That man is amazing, and he has a heart of gold. And he was so kind. The day after we recorded, he sent me an email and just said, "I just wanted to make sure you two are okay." And, really complimented Paige about how wonderful she did, and was just really, grateful for being on the show. And I mean, he's just a wonderful person, one of my favorite people. And that's a show that's definitely near and dear.
It was a lovely show, and I'm glad I wasn't on it, because it's really nice to go back and listen to it, right? To mm-hmm. have the experience. I have the experience of being able to edit it, right? And I just thought it was so lovely to hear just how well both of you did mm-hmm. having that conversation. I thought it was really great.
Mm-hmm.
We had the bigger, I don't want to say bigger, but the big milestone happened, I think, back in 2018 for the community. And that's when we launched Patreon and the Discord community. Do you remember that process for us?
I do, because I fought against it for a while.
I know.
You had the idea, and I was like, no, I don't think we should do it, and it just seems strange and weird. And then I don't know what the turn was, but at some point it became a weird idea to, oh my god, this is a fantastic idea, and let's do this. And then that also grew, because it started with like different tiers and different goals. And we have to shout out to It's Rachel.
It's a Rachel.
Yeah. She was key.
Well, and Rachel had been a part of a lot of other gaming communities on Discord, and I was still very new to Discord at the time and had, was diving in enthusiastically, but Rachel knew how to do everything. And early on, Rachel helped get the, you know, initial run of channels set up. And our beta team for a long time was Ellie, who had school and babies and has been kind of faded off of the community for a little while. But Ellie was a significant part of that, working with Rachel and Melissa and me, just trying to build out the Discord community and you know, get it connected to Patreon and figure out, you know, what do we need to do to create a space where people feel comfortable, you know, talking with each other. And it turns out the tiers, I think we went through a number of different tier setups when we first started figuring out, like, how to create that space by channel access, you know, by who's investing in the community. Mm-hmm. And I think it's worked pretty darn well. I think the events that we have, the group that gathers is intimate, but I think welcoming, mm-hmm. I hope welcoming, like we really try to make it easy to jump into the various events that we host and, you know, have a lot of laughs and, mm-hmm. and yet create a safe space for people to share. So, you know, we started with, you, me and Rachel, and right. Now it's, you know, it's been 6 years and we have, you know, almost 900 members and we have international folks. I mean, pizza from Scandinavia and kangaroos from down under. And like,
That was one of my favorite moments is when we have our Australia member and he was driving to work, I think, and he stopped by the park so he could show us the kangaroos.
Park. It was a graveyard.
Is that what it was?
I think it was a graveyard. Oh, they were hopping around the graveyard.
Yeah. Well, you know, a park is kind of a graveyard. Graveyard park. Yeah, that was really fun. I loved that. Lots of happy hour. We've had 65 happy hours. First one was on October 3rd, 2018. And those have changed too. You know, those have, some of the people have come and gone. Some people have stayed. We will have small, intimate, you know, real powerful question or conversations. And then we'll play a game sometimes. So it's always been a really fun event that I look forward to. And I know you do too every month.
Very much. My general vibe going into happy hour is, oh my gosh, it's the end of a long day. I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. And coming out of happy hour, my family can't shut me up. Like right. I find happy hour the most rejuvenating, fantastic experience. Just hearing how people's days went, like mm-hmm. what's going on, like tell jokes, share memes. Like there is the only condition of attending those happy hours is just, you know, living your life with ADHD. It's not therapy. It's not necessarily, there's no reason, there's nothing you have to expect of yourself to show up. Just show up and
you enjoy never other, know other where people. The conversation's going to go because we're we don't have an agenda. We're not teaching anything. We're not talking about the show. I mean, sometimes we do, but you know, that's not the basis of it. So yeah, that's the beauty of it too. You never know what you're going to get in happy hour.
You never know what you're going to get. We also have a team now that we didn't have. It was just you and me, kid.
Just you and me. And I had an assistant. I had another assistant for a while.
Yep.
But yeah, for the show, for sure, was just you and me because she really only worked on the business side. But yeah, so Melissa came into our lives as a Patreon member and was responding and like really involved. And then we asked her, right? We just were like, hey, how do you feel about working on the show with us?
Yeah. That was in 2020. Yeah. And it was pandemic. And I'm not sure. I mean, maybe Melissa would have to remember that. But I wonder if that was because of the pandemic. Because when the pandemic hit, you and I were podcasting every day.
Yeah. And my business got really busy too. I was coaching a lot. And so, I think we really did need help because I wasn't able to do both. I couldn't do both.
So Melissa started in January as our sort of part-time community manager. And
oh, I just remembered something.
What's that?
The other reason is because, again, my other assistant only did the coaching stuff. So we didn't think it would be a good fit for her to all of a sudden jump into podcast when Melissa, we knew, was in it and listened. And yeah, so that was another, it just reminded me of that.
Well, and was already really a heart of the place.
Right. Like that's why she's Discord mom.
Yeah. It was definitely an easy choice.
Saint.
Saint Melissa too. And is now, you know, full time operations manager for all things TCA. And talk about like taking over the reins for so many different aspects.
So many things of
the job. Yeah. And then taking up the reins for our second Discord community manager and moderator as we continue to join is our very own Brian Brunell, who is, you know, sang a song on our 500th episode. And if there's anybody who has lived up to the pace Melissa set is the heart of the community. I mean, Brian was right there. I mean, he was the first one to wish people welcome and always the last one to leave. And it just was an easy choice to kind of start having more meetings with Brian. And even though Brian is a very busy person in his day job, he's just really committed to this community. And it's been such an honor to have him on board and supporting as well. Yes. And then Marion, do you say about Marion?
She's just a joy.
absolute joy. Joined to help Melissa, works technically directly for Melissa and as the operations assistant. And, company continues to grow and Marion is awesome. Mm-hmm. And we just see, the world ahead of Marion and as a central part of this team. So it's really, I just feel like it's important to run through kind of those people because I want people to know how many people kind of contribute to the community and to the podcast directly. Like there are a lot of hands and fingers in the podcast besides me and Nikki. Mm-hmm. And the podcast as it is now, we couldn't do without them.
No,
we couldn't do it. We couldn't do the show that we started 14 years ago. Without that support. So
yes,
it's huge.
So important. Thank you everyone at that TCA team.
So Melissa put a list of all the things that have happened over the last year outside of the podcast. Of course, you know, our kids growing up, becoming young adults, moving out, college, careers, our kids were, I mean, okay.
Paige would have been five.
Seven.
Yeah. If it was in 2010, so Paige would have been five and Jaden would have been eight.
Yeah. Sophie was eight. Nicholas would have been four.
Almost four or almost five, probably. Yeah. Because they're pretty close in age. Yeah.
And so they are now
21 and 18.
We're about to lose them all.
Yeah. Right? We're going to become empty nesters.
Yeah. And I do wonder what that's going to change in terms of the show. Like, it'll be interesting to see when kids are gone. Who are we going to talk about? We're going to have kids on just to figure out what kids are doing.
What they're doing. I know. Yeah. Crazy.
So Melissa added the growth of Pete's podcast empire from Rash Pixel to True Story FM.
Talk about True Story.
Well, so I started podcasting in 2006, personally. And I was just me for many, many, many years. And in fact, 14 years until the pandemic, until 2020, it was just me.
What did you talk about?
Well, the early shows, the first show that I did, I was working for an education concern, organization I will not name. And I started a podcast internally. That was my first podcast. It was a podcast for the other faculty members to talk about each other's work, to have faculty come on and talk about, what is your day job like? You're all adjunct faculty. What do you do? So I interviewed criminologists, I interviewed accountants, I interviewed judges, I interviewed all kinds of different people. And then the legal department at the university wrote me after about 8 weeks of, or 8 or 10 weeks of doing the show, and said, you have to stop doing the show.
Oh,
for those of you who weren't really tracking the legal environment around technology and podcasting at the time, it was rough because it was a new industry. And so there were a lot of patent trolls out there. And there was a guy who swore that he had the patent on delivering audio over the internet. And that he was sending cease and desist orders, or license my tech orders, to everyone who had a podcast.
Wow.
And it was a frivolous lawsuit. He didn't own that.
You can't own that space. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it was frivolous. So, but the legal department at the place was like, what is this little stupid thing doing that we're getting these legal notices? We're not even going to investigate. We're just going to shut it down. Mm. So don't do it. We don't want to think about it anymore. Podcasting was very new in 2006. I mean, it was me and Leo Laporte. And I mean, it was just very few of us. Adam, what's his name from MTV? I mean, at Corolla, it was Corolla.
Oh, right, yeah. First name?
Anyway, it was very, very new. And so two other faculty members and I left, or took the podcast outside of the university and created Beer 30 Live. And it was just a talk show that happened. We would leave work at 4:30 on Friday afternoon and go over to the McMinimans in Lake Oswego for happy hour. And that was a way for us, because beer was in the title of the show.
Right.
We wrote off 100% of our booze.
Oh, that's
for
awesome.
Like another year and a half.
So smart.
And we interviewed other teachers, we interviewed politicians, we interviewed musicians, and we would have them all come into the bar and sit at this big booth, and McMinimans kind of sponsored us. It was fantastic. And then the other two faculty members got jobs. I tried to kind of recast the host of that show. It just didn't work. But over that time, I started getting hired by other companies to come help them start their podcasts. And that started my business of doing podcasts on contract. And they would hire me to be the guy. My background was in journalism originally. And so they would hire me to be the guy to interview them and talk about their products or services. And I think all the shows eventually took a turn like the ADHD podcast did. They became less about a sales pitch and more about like really evaluating the space and looking at interesting issues. But none of them really lasted as long as ADHD. And I think it's because I live so intimately in this
space. Right,
yeah. This is home for me.
Right.
It was really great. I do a lot of fun shows, dumb fun shows. Mm-hmm. The Next Reel family of film podcasts is all about movies and entertainment. Those are all member supported people who like to hear the way we talk about movies. That's a show. I started The Next Reel on November 11th, 2011. So that show has been going almost as long as the ADHD podcast.
Yes, yes.
And so we're cruising up toward our 600.
Wow.
And we have a number of shows underneath that are really fun, different ways to think about movies. Movies by minute shows. We've done all the Marvel movies we're working through 1 minute at a time. They're extraordinarily dumb. And of course, What's That Smell? Mm-hmm. A sometimes funny podcast about humans and their anxieties. Now it's All the Feelings, mm-hmm. a sometimes funny show about being human. And we're really excited about that, the crossover that has had with this show, ADHD, yeah. Anxiety, feelings, mm-hmm. with Tommy Metz the Third. So the True Story now has 35, 36 shows that we do across, healing, education, ADHD, obviously, entertainment. We're all over the place, but we're producing a lot of content.
So you're producing and editing and getting it out there. You're not a co-host on all of those shows.
I'm not a co-host on all of them. I am a co-host on a number of them. Mm-hmm. I can't do it anymore. Mm. I'm tapped out. Mm-hmm. So it's too hard.
Yeah.
That model doesn't work anymore. And
but you're going to stay here with this one.
Of course. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Just want to make sure everyone knows that. Yeah.
This is home, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is one of my oldest shows. It is really important to me, mm-hmm. personally. And I love this community so much. So mm-hmm. the reason I can't take on new shows is because of this show, right? I mean, it's because of the investment that I make right here. And so that's important to me. But I do, I'm at the point, I think, in my career where when new clients come on, they sort of expect me to be able to do it. And I've just started having to say no. My partner in True Story, Andy Nelson, who is a godsend, mm-hmm. He actually, his production house in Phoenix closed down during the pandemic and mm-hmm. they never opened up again. And that's when he joined me. He's been podcasting with me on The Next Reel since 2011. He and I were RAs together at University of Colorado Boulder. Like, we've been friends a long time.
Yeah.
My senior project was the making of movie about his senior project, a movie that we filmed at Denver International Airport.
That's great.
Right after it opened. So, like, we've been intertwined for a long time. Yeah. And so he came on as a full-time partner for me and now helps produce. He refuses to host any of our client shows, which mm-hmm. is his right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what True Story is. And that's how that's why this show is under the banner of True Story, because that's what I bring to the table.
Right.
The ADHD and the tech. So
awesome.
I hope that's interesting to somebody.
It's
out there.
Interesting to me because I didn't know all of that. So I didn't realize you had such so much experience in interviewing people either. That's awesome. That, and it makes sense because it's so natural for you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate hearing that. I feel I don't know. I haven't done the count, but in terms of total episodes of podcasts that I've hosted since 2006, I mean, it's over 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, maybe more. I mean, just in raw hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, hey, I've hit 10,000 hours. How about that?
There you go.
That's supposed to be important to someone, I think. I have to add this. Melissa is making an excellent point. She and I were having a chat, and I use Melissa to brainstorm stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And I was DMing her in Discord, and I said something I don't even remember. We should probably scroll back up and find that conversation some years ago. But it was between a chat with me and Melissa, where she and I came up with True Story as a response to something like, oh, that would be a good name for a thing, sarcastically. And then one of us said, True Story. And I was like, wait, that would be a good name for a podcast.
Oh, wow. Melissa.
Yeah, that was Melissa too. Melissa's fingers are in everything, is what we're saying.
Yes.
Everything.
Oh, okay. What else has been going on?
Lots of family
years?
Joys yep. and tragedies. We've been through a lot together and three presidencies.
Three presidents.
That's something.
Yep. Worldwide pandemic, which unfortunately you were a part of with getting COVID in July of 2020, which was so scary.
Yeah.
Months of quarantine, lots of shows during that time.
Oh, a lot of podcasting on this show for sure.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok dances like the Floss, the Doogie, and the Harlem Shake, although we didn't partake in any of those. I appreciate that they're on the calendar. The Rise of Avocado Toast. Melissa, you're outdoing yourself. 18 new iPhone releases.
Wow.
That warms my heart.
I'm sure it does.
And of course, the Shocktato and Nikki falling through the floor in her attic. I can't talk about it.
I know. Neither one of those can we talk about. Now, highlighted them to see if we can get little episode or like little
I think we
sound,
can
but
find
I don't know
the
if we
Shocktato,
can.
But I don't know if we can. We might not be able to find the floor in the attic.
Yeah,
that,
I'm
gonna
sure.
leave that to see if Melissa knows where that might be. I don't
those
quite
are
remember.
Definitely good moments.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
That's 14 years of this show together.
It's crazy. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't really see an end at this point, right? Like, we're just going to keep going.
I don't know how we would.
We're going to keep going as long as there's still ADHD in the world, which Melissa at the last happy hour wanted to get rid of, and podcasts. She wanted to get rid of both.
Yeah, right. We just need Nikki to keep saying no to good ideas for a little while.
That's right.
And we'll be here forever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to take this kind of retrospective and to jump sort of to a higher level and look at and get some perspective of like what we've been doing. Because, I mean, this show really exists at the point of one foot in front of the other. It exists mm-hmm. at the point of pressing record week to week to week to week to week. And it's, you know, our focus is on right now, today, what are we going to talk about? Mm-hmm. But, you know, looking back, looking more broadly, you realize there's an arc. There's an arc to it. And that arc is filled with joy and pain and fun and humor and fear and all the things. That's what life is.
And it's such a part of, I mean, when I look at my business as a whole, I mean, this is half of it. You know, this is half of it. Like, I can't imagine not doing it. And I think that that's the yeah. thing, is that it's just such a part of what we do and how we are able to reach, you know, as many listeners as we can with, I hope, a message that, you know, means, yes, gives them some like things to think about, but also just that they're not alone and they do have a community, and, you know, what they're experiencing, they don't have to do it by themselves and have that right support around them. And so it's, I'm really proud of what we do, Pete. Really proud of it.
Me too. Me too. Thank you. Thanks for letting me be a part of it.
Thank you for being a part
really
of it.
Really honored every week. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. You know, I guess we could do it without you, but it would be so boring.
Oh, my gosh.
Just us talking to each other.
It is what it feels ADHD. Like, though, honestly. Like, a lot of times it is just what I feel like. I am just talking to Pete, and then yeah. all of these people happen to be listening, and I don't really think about that. I'm just talking to you, which I think which is a good thing, because if I really thought about it, I probably would be like that. Those people on the TV where once the camera hits and they just can't speak anymore, yeah, they're frozen.
Right. Yeah.
That would totally. Be me. Do you remember that we used to not look at each other?
Yeah, we couldn't. There was a time when we couldn't
yeah.
look at each other.
I would
we
have to hide
this
you.
On audio over Skype.
Yeah.
And Skype.
Yeah, so funny.
How the mighty have fallen.
Yes. Technology has changed over the last 14
changed
years.
A lot. A lot. Well, thank you, everybody. For
yes,
the 600th time, thank you for your time and attention. It's because of our listeners and the ADHD community that we can continue to celebrate this milestone. We sure appreciate you. You know what to do. Head over to the Show Talk channel in Discord. If you're a member over there, you can become a member at the deluxe level or better to get access to that channel. We'd love to have you over there. We'd love to have you be a part of the live stream community ongoing, and hang out with us and see what these wonderful ADHDers are up to. On behalf of Nikki Kinzer, I'm Pete Wright, and we'll see you right back here next week on Taking Control, the ADHD podcast.